Amen. Amen. Hope you found something in those declarations to say to the Lord today. Because He is worthy to receive all the good things we can offer up in His name. Well, I'm finishing this series today that we've been in the last few weeks about living like Jesus. And we've talked about living like Jesus mentally was the first week. And we talked about living like Jesus emotionally. And then today we're going to talk about living like Jesus obediently. The way Jesus lived, He lived an obedient life by the things that He did. And as we think about that, you might be asking, how do I live obediently like Jesus? How is that possible? Can I do it by my own strength, or do I have to have some help? Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32, Jesus tells a parable to His disciples and to those who were listening, those who were hanging out, who wanted to discourage Him, the religious leaders of that day. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32, Matthew 21. But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." The son answered, "No, I won't go." Sounds like one of our kids, doesn't it? But later, he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, "You go." And he said, "Yes, sir, I will." But he didn't go. Jesus then asked the question, which one of the two obeyed his father? To which they quickly replied, the first. And Jesus explained his meaning. I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him. While tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins. Man, wouldn't like to be in that crowd. Jesus, in that moment, spoke very truthfully about the religious leaders of his day and how they had treated those who were not like them, how they lived their life. You know, when we think about living an obedient life like Jesus, we have to ask ourselves the question, does it come natural to some, but not to others? Is it part of our physical DNA? You know, a lot of times people say, you can do this. You can obey. If you will just simply respond like that to God, He will be pleased with you. But listen to what the rest of the Word of God says. None of us can live up to the standard God has set. Only Jesus. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus didn't. Jesus lived out His obedience. And I want to talk to you about three things regarding that living like Jesus, living obediently. First of all, look at this idea of living obediently by knowing what God has to say, what God's word says. How did Jesus, look in Matthew chapter 4, and as you're turning there, how did Jesus handle the temptation that he faced to sin and still be obedient to the Father? Well, look in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus went out into the wilderness, had been out in the wilderness for, it says, 40 days and nights, and he fasted and he became very hungry. That's verse 2. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But what did Jesus do? Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil, verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures do say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus then responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Satan responded and said, "I will give it all to you if you will kneel down and worship me." To which Jesus then says, "Get out of here, Satan." Jesus told him, "For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus. Some translations say the devil left him for an opportune time. Do you have opportune times in your life? When the evil one comes to you, or when somebody suggests to you, do this or do that, or they give you advice, do you have moments in which you know what the Word of God has to say about that? Could you, if the evil one were to come to you, could you quote Scripture back to him? Could you tell him what you know God's word says? If we are going to live obediently like Jesus, we have got to know the word of God. There is great power in repetition. When we're trying to learn something, when we're trying to retain that information, there's great power in that repetition. You know, to play a certain sport, it's repetition, doing the same thing over and over again. Practicing perfectly helps us in our moment to perform perfectly because we have practiced that. Muscle memory is another part of that. Can there be muscle memory spiritually? Absolutely. We know exactly how to respond when the devil comes and gives us temptation. I don't know if you realize it, but God has an escape plan for every single temptation we face. And his escape plan for us is to focus our attention on the Word of God. Let him provide that way of escape that we can endure the temptation as Jesus himself did. Sean Covey, in Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teens, I'm sure he wrote that to adults as well, but he said this: we become what we repetitively do. We become what we repetitively do. If you and I are listening to what the world is telling us to do, if you and I are doing the things that we think are right and good, if you and I are finding ourselves at a moment in which we are living like the world, why are we doing that? Because we have done that repetitively. But that can change. That can change in a moment when we focus our attention on what God's Word says, when we take it in and we allow it to transform the way we think and the way that we act and how we live. What are you doing today? As you look at your life and think about your schedule for the day, what are you doing that will allow you to know the Word of God in your life? Are you setting aside time each and every day to bring in the Word of God into your life, either through your own personal reading, through listening to a podcast, through fellowshipping with other believers who are going to share ideas and thoughts about the Word of God and what it says? Are you consistently making that transition so that you can live obediently by knowing what God's Word says? The second thing about living obediently is by prioritizing the Father's will. By prioritizing the Father's will. Jesus was obedient to the Father's will by living it out, by doing what God told him to do. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus had had an encounter with a woman. We call her the woman at the well, or a Samaritan woman. And his disciples had gone to find food. And while they were gone, he went to this well and he met a lady there that was coming there for water. And he began to engage her in a conversation. The disciples came back and they were saying to the Lord, "You need to eat something. You need to strengthen yourself." And Jesus' response to them in John 4:34 is, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his purpose." Is your food, is your passion, is the desire of your heart to do what God wants us to do? What God wants you to do? You know, a lot of times we ask, "Lord, what's your will for me?" We should be asking, "Lord, what is your will? Period. What do you have planned for this day? What do you want to accomplish? What do I need to make sure that I do in following you before I do all those things that I want to do?" Are we prioritizing the Father's will? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "He humbled himself," this is speaking of Jesus, "He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Aren't we glad that Jesus was obedient to the Father, desired to do the will of the Father? I remember one time when I was in college, I just kind of started college and had a friend that I'd known for several years, and we were having a conversation about living the will of God in our life. And I shared with that person at that time, one of my greatest fears was living outside the will of God. Living by doing what I want to do. I remember also another time in my life when I was going through a very hard time in ministry. Things were very difficult and my focus was not always clear. And I remember thinking to myself and saying to the Lord, I really don't care what happens. I'm just tired of this. I want to get out. I want to quit. I want to stop following what you are telling me to do, even if it means being out of your will. Now, I say from experience, that's a foolish place to be. Aren't we glad Jesus did not say, as he hung on the cross, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm ready to get off here. But he endured. He endured why? Because he prioritized the will of God in his life. And he lived that out. He didn't just talk about it. We can just talk about it sitting here, can't we? But Monday's tomorrow. Are we going to live out the will of God? Are we going to seek the will of God? Are we going to prioritize the will of God tomorrow? Are we going to prioritize it when things are difficult and when things are hard and when we're challenged, when we're ready to give up? Are we going to live out the will of God? That's how we live obediently. What we prioritize is what we're going to end up doing. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, God is speaking to his prophet and giving him a message that he should share. Isaiah 1, 19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. As you and I look at our life, is there a desire in our heart? That's really what it takes, doesn't it? We give ourselves, we give our activity, we give our resource, we give our schedule to the things we like. I'm not saying we can't enjoy life. God's will brings enjoyment to us if we do it faithfully and consistently and follow his plan for us. The third thing is living obediently by following the Holy Spirit's leadership. Living obediently by following the Holy Spirit's leadership. Acts chapter 5. If you want to go there, Acts chapter 5. I'm going to talk about living out the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 5, 26 through 32, we are witnesses of these things. What are these things in the context here? These things are those things that the religious leaders of their day says, stop talking about Jesus. Remember, they said to Peter and John, then they said to others who were doing the same thing, stop talking about this Jesus. But what did they say? It says, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a witness to this reality whom God has given to those who what? Obey Him. Those who obey Him. If we are willing to follow His example, He gives to us more and more of the Spirit. You know, people talk about second blessing. People talk about getting more of the Holy Spirit. I really believe one of the things that we do in our life when we receive more of the Holy Spirit is we get all the Holy Spirit there is when we are saved, but we don't allow the Holy Spirit to have all of us. We have things that we hold on to that we don't surrender. We have areas of our heart that we're not ready to give up. But as we grow, as we mature, as the Word of God begins to infiltrate our life, we allow the Spirit to lead us more and more in our walk with Christ. And by following the Holy Spirit's leadership, you and I have the opportunity to obediently do what God has told us to do. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. In the flesh, we are ignorant of God's will. We're ignorant of God's plan. We're ignorant of the Holy Spirit's leadership in our life when we are living in the flesh. When we're not allowing Him to transform us and to change us by His grace and by the work of His Holy Spirit, you and I come to a place to where we no longer allow the Spirit of God to lead us. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it talks about the Spirit of God leads us to obey what God has to say. And the Spirit of God empowers us to obey. So the Spirit of God leads us in that obedience. But did you catch this second part? The Spirit of God empowers us. Empowers us to obey, because you and I, in our own strength, we are nothing. I'm going to read about that in just a few moments in the book of Romans. Philippians 2, verse 12 through 13 says this, therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for your salvation with fear and trembling, but work out the salvation that has already been placed in my life and your life when we trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to His good purpose. God Himself desires the very best for us. And when we desire to live obediently, what are we going to experience? we're going to experience the very best God has for us. In Romans chapter 8, I have mentioned to you guys before and preached on this chapter. It's probably one of my favorite chapters in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, listen to this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. You get that? The sinful nature is always. He didn't say sometimes. Sometimes you're okay. He said, in our flesh, that sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never, get that word, never please God. But that's not true of you. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. Why does the Spirit give us life? Because we have been made right with God by the sacrifice of Jesus, as it goes on to say there. The Spirit of God, you remember one of the things that the Spirit of God does for us. It says, you have not received, verse 15, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own. Now we call Him Abba Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children, and since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share in His suffering. Goes on to say there, this is Spirit of God intercedes for us. According to what? The will of God. God the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And as Jesus told His disciples in John 14 and then again in John 16, He said, if I go away, the Father is going to give you another comforter to be with you, how long? Always. He's going to be with us always by His power and work. He is going to work in us His will, the Father's will. If we choose that, if we surrender to Him, if we say, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever You want. I give You my life for that purpose. So are you living and following the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Think back just over the last week. you feel like there was a time last week where you stopped in your busy schedule or you stopped in your day and said, okay, God, what do you have? What do you want to do today? Not God, what do you have for me? But God, what do you want to do today? What's going to bring you joy? What's going to bring you happiness? It was Jesus who in the garden prayed like this. Lord, if there is any other way, let it be done. But if not, the most important thing is that I want your will to be done. Is that a prayer of your heart? Do you think about that consistently on an ongoing basis? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9, Paul wrote this. I wrote for this purpose, to test your character, to see if you are obedient in everything. If Paul were to sit down with you and have a cup of coffee, ask you, are you being obedient to the Lord? How would you respond? Let's pray together.